Views expressed on this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers, and are not necessarily those of this station, its management, or other advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.
This show's audio was via a Skype call.
Welcome to Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. Claudette brings fresh, innovative perspectives that push the boundaries of what organizational cultures can and should be. Learn how to catalyze your organization's workforce into an authentic, intentional, and financially successful culture. Now here's your host, Claudette Rowley.
Hey, everybody, this is Claudette Rowley, and you are listening to Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence on Transformation Talk Radio. Stay with us for the next hour and let us help you experience some groundbreaking ways to transform your company's culture. Twice each month, we have some of the foremost experts on organizational culture and leadership, helping you understand how to make a brilliant culture the rule rather than the exception. Today, I am really, really excited about our guest, Dr. Darren Martin, and he and I are going to be talking about how to architect a company of owners. So let me introduce Darren. Dr. Darren Martin is the author of the best-selling book, A Company of Owners, Maximizing Employee Engagement, another book called Whiteboard, Business Models That Inspire Action, and Beached Whale, Learning to Swim in the New Ocean. Dr. Martin's thought leadership and change strategies in transforming companies have earned him the title the Cultural Architect. Combining humor, thought-provoking content, and a dynamic and engaging presentation style, his transformational speaking has inspired audiences to action all over the world. Dr. Martin ran his own business for 20 years, and for the last 11 years has consulted for Fortune 200 companies, organizations, and small business owners from a wide range of industries. He has been in over 40 countries. You can hear his company culture insights and business musings on his podcast, Company Culture with Darren Martin, PhD. Welcome, Darren.
Hey, Claudette. Wow, I want to meet that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Lucky you, right?
Lucky me. I get to talk to you. I've been really looking forward to this, Claudette. This is awesome. Yeah.
It is awesome. Thanks for being here. I've been looking forward to it as well. And for listeners, I actually had the pleasure of hearing Darren speak a few weeks ago at a conference we both attended. So I was extra excited, Darren, to have you here today. So one thing I'm curious about with, you know, architecting a company of owners, right? Such an important topic in today's world. And starting with kind of just when you talk about ownership, because we hear that word a lot, what are you actually talking about? Like, what are the attributes of ownership in your work?
So people get confused by that because people just think I'm talking about, you know, whose name is on the deed and, you know, whether they've got stock in the company and so forth. But really the whole owner idea was born out of a conversation I had with the CEO of a $20 billion oil and gas company years ago. We're in the hallway. And I said, Dave, you need to fire all your employees. And he's like, what are you talking about, Martin? We can't fire all our employees. And I said, you don't want people who act like employees. You want people who act like owners. Mm-hmm. And I could tell it was just like this light bulb went off over his head and over mine. And, you know, we just started developing the idea. So he asked me to speak on that as a topic because it really resonated with him at a supervisor school that they ran every year. And from there, the book was born. So when I talk about ownership, I'm talking about people who go to work every day or participate in life where they are taking 100% responsibility for their outcomes and what they're generating. Mm-hmm. We've got so many, I call them zombie employees, mm-hmm. but people who are just kind of mailing it in.
Yeah.
You know this, but the average engagement at a typical company is high engagement is 29%. That means, you know, 71% are just showing up, right?
Right.
And there are multiple reasons for that. But I think the workplace is transformed when people are both empowered to act like owners and then they take that responsibility on themselves. It's an absolute deal changer.
It's interesting because just about a week ago, I was on LinkedIn, and I don't even remember who said this, but I wrote it down. And it was the it's what you were talking about, that engagement and growth is 100% the employee's responsibility. And then creating the environment where that can happen is 100% the company's responsibility. And I thought, wow, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I mean, you know, absolutely. So if you look back in history, you know, 30, 40 years ago, I'm a bad judge of time, but made in Japan used to mean piece of crap, right? It was a punchline. It was a joke. And then they went through a transformational change when it came to manufacturing and the way they thought about work. And, you know, it was thanks to some really wise leaders in Japan and then, you know, partnering with some people like Edward Demings out of Wyoming. And you took what, you know, shoddy products that were produced and all of a sudden, you know, nobody thinks of a Lexus as a piece of crap. It's like, wow, that's a really well-made, you know, put together piece of equipment. And that came out of the change. The reason I point that out, I mean, people are familiar with that story, but it's because it was the same workers. It wasn't like they went and found other workers from some other country. You know, it was using the people that they had, but they put them in a system for success. So I go back and forth. I mean, I think for individuals listening to this, no matter what setting you're in, it is 100% your responsibility how you show up at work, no matter what the environment is. You know, if you want to get ahead, if you want to be indispensable, then you need to act like an owner. But I also do put a large amount of the onus on the company to build a structure where people are really invited. You know, as I say, if you want people to act like owners, you got to treat them like owners. And many companies don't.
Yeah. And I've been in companies too, as, you know, as a consultant where you want people to take ownership. We want them to be really accountable. We want all this. And I'll say, have you given them the freedom to actually do that?
Yeah. I love it.
Right. Do they have empower? Are they empowered, you know, to actually take those steps? Right. Oh, yeah, we hadn't really thought of it that way. Okay.
What does that look like?
What does that actually look like? What do we need to do here? So when you know, architecting ownership, and I know you're a complete expert in this area, but what are some of the things you are working on when you're in a company helping them with this?
Well, there's an old Chinese proverb says beginning of wisdom is calling things by the right name.
Yeah.
And I know you do a lot of this work as well, Claudette, but you know, for me, it's just, let's go in and get a benchmark. Let's find out what's really going on. And I do that by conversations with lots of people in the company. So I like to do a really good cross, section of people everywhere from, you know, the C-suite, to people who are, as I say, closest to the valve, the ones that are, you know, doing a lot of the work. And, you know, I want to talk to people in the shipping department and manufacturing and, you know, whatever the kind of business it is. And people tell you then stories. And when you start to hear a consistency to those stories, it becomes very apparent what is working in the culture and what's not. And from there, then it's, you know, it's fairly easy to the easy part is mapping out a roadmap to get to a better place. The hard part, as you know, is convincing the powers that be that this is a real issue and this is what's going on. And yes, this is where we need to pay attention.
The implementation. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. And I was curious, you know, a particular client or company, does anybody come to mind as, you know, interesting story about a time, you know, I know you do this all the time, but you went in and you ran your process and you got some really, really interesting results.
Yeah, absolutely. So the oil and gas company I was talking about went through a couple of acquisitions. And they put these two places together that could not have been any more different. You know, one was formerly privately owned, you know, family owned, and the family would show up at, you know, holidays and give you your bonus check and ask about your kids. And, oh, yeah, remember we talked a few months ago about XYZ, right? It was just a very friendly kind of we're all in this together environment. The other one that they kind of mashed together with this one was a publicly traded company that had been on the chopping block for about 5 years. And they were constantly being told, we're either going to sell or we're going to shut down. So people were in constant fear of losing their jobs. And, you know, I remember at the time that I said, hey, you know, some change management would probably be in order to kind of, oh, no, we're just going to throw them together and let them figure it out. And 3 years later, with lots of emails going to HR and, you know, just all hell breaking loose, you can imagine.
Yeah.
From putting those two together, I went out there to kind of, hey, what's wrong? What's the problem? Why are we having all these issues? And what I found was that the company that was that had been publicly traded, et cetera, they had what I call management by screaming and yelling obscenities at people.
Yikes.
Yeah. So they would, you know, he would use phrases like, go put a boot on their neck. Or in fact, I was told about one of just in these conversations, I was told about one of the, you know, pretty senior people out there, Darren, there isn't a person out here that would do a damn thing for that guy. Mm-hmm. And it was just it was a really harsh kind of culture and environment. And it was a lot of CYA and it took way too long. And you know, I was ready to snap my fingers. Okay. Here's the deal. But it took a while, but eventually they removed a lot of those people in those positions of authority, or all of them actually. And it was a night and day difference. I mean, you just saw the transformation when you put real leaders in place. And by the way, I'm all for managing people up if you can. But in this case, this was some pretty entrenched, you know, behaviors and attitudes, and people had kind of been running the show for a long time. And, you know, nothing was going to move or happen without some key, you know, some key personnel decisions, meaning firing, right?
Fine, yeah, but, in this case, yeah.
Yeah, but, the problem is that people, many leaders don't think someone being a jerk is cause for dismissal, you know, and the cost that it is having on their company is astronomical.
It is. It's completely astronomical. And actually, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'd love to return to this because I think this is such an important topic. So you're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley, and we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about how much does it cost a company to keep somebody on who's just not behaving well. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Conscious Confidence Radio, a timeless wisdom with Sarah Maine. Tune in each month on Transformation Talk Radio and join Sarah on an adventurous journey to the deeper level of meaning to move beyond today's world of constant change, confusion, and uncertainty beyond the shadow of fear. This hit show explores key concepts such as confidence, values, and attitude in a dynamic way. To learn more about Sarah and her work, visit sarahmaine.com.
Stay juicy. Tune in to Your Juicy Love with me, Una Drake, co-hosting monthly with Dr. Pat, and every second Monday at 12 p.m. on Transformation Talk Radio. My show, Your Juicy Love, helps you find the dynamic, life-affirming love you've always wanted. Transform your relationships and bring peace, joy, and juicy, juicy love to planet Earth. For more information, visit unadrake.com.
Demystifying the journey on From Here to There Radio with your host, Diane Garris. Tune in every third Wednesday, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on TransformationTalkRadio.com as Diane helps you get from where you are now to the life you envision. Get ready to get unstuck and move forward. Every show features a new special segment, New Age Notes, demystifying hot, metaphysical topics of the day. For more information or to work with Diane, Visit DianeGarris.com.
On the cutting edge of the new mainstream, Christine Upchurch is passionate about bringing together science, psychology, and spirituality in a way that can be applied to our everyday lives for true transformation. The Christine Upchurch Show. Stellar conversations to illuminate your journey. Engages some of the most outstanding visionaries on the planet in lively dialogue to inspire you to become that bright light you're meant to be. Join Christine every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific Time on KKNW, AM 1150, and Transformation Talk Radio.
This is Debbie Pokornik with a moment for standing in your power. Self-control begins with noticing how different feelings present themselves in your body. When you're feeling sensitive, for example, your chin might quiver, tears might well up in your eyes, and your voice might catch in your throat. Anger, on the other hand, might appear as tension in your jaw, back, or arms, along with clenched fists, heat in the upper torso, scowling, and a strong desire to yell. The more aware you become of your body cues, the easier it will be to recognize when you're on the road to disaster. Choose the emotions that cause you problems, then start noticing and logging the body cues that come with them.
For information and to work with Debbie, visit empoweringnrg.com. That's empoweringnrg.com.
Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence. I'm Claudette Rowley. And for those of you just joining us, my guest today is Dr. Darren Martin. And we've been talking about how to architect a company of owners. So, Darren, right before the break, you were just talking about sharing a great story, right, about how you helped an organization that had leadership, right, that were really, really kind of tanking the culture, right, because of how they were treating people. And this idea of that some companies really think that it's okay for some of their people to be jerks. So that's not a reason to terminate them.
Wow. Yeah. And, you know, that's just a travesty because I had a professor who used to ask the question, how much cow dung does it take to spoil a bowl of ice cream? Which not much in my book. So
yeah, right.
I jokingly say I grew up in Thailand, so I might just scoop it out and keep eating, you know. But and how many poisonous employees does it take? We've just started our podcast. We're about 9 episodes in now. Okay. By far the absolute most listened to show was on jerks in the workplace. And it's just because it's such an epidemic out there and people go to work, you know, we think bullying is a problem in schools. It's a big issue in companies as well. And for some reason, companies will put up with it. Not Netflix. We were talking about this, but you know, yeah. Netflix has in their culture deck, we don't hire super intelligent jerks.
Yay.
He said, we don't care how smart you are. It's not worth it to the team. And, you know, we see it in all sorts of, you know, sports teams, et cetera. When you've got someone who just has a poisonous attitude or demeanor, it can really drag the whole thing down.
Yeah. And it's interesting to me when I've talked with organizations about, you know, who are in the situation where they have someone like this and that it's, two things tend to happen, I've noticed. One is they will think this person is indispensable, right? Because
right.
of their technical brilliance, and you know this. And then the other thing, and actually this just came up in a company I'm consulting with now, where this person, particular person who fits this profile, was finally, you know, they worked out a way for this person to leave, right? So that finally happened. And I said to the leader, I said, do not be surprised, because I've seen this over and over again, that once this person has left, they will leave in their trail just a bunch of, you know what, you're all going to have to clean up. And you're not even going to know what it is. And all this debris. And sure enough, they're finding things left and right, you know.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. You've seen this situation, I'm sure, so many times that you're able to predict stuff like that.
Right. Yeah. Like I'd love to be wrong about it, but most likely I'm not so prepared. Right.
Yeah. And, you know, I have had a few success stories. I remember a guy that was leading a team and just negative. And he actually ended up being very open to change, but it took a very frank conversation about, let me explain, you know, something. Of course, I'm in there in the kind of role that you're in there in. We don't get to call these shots. Right. I said, just based on everything I'm hearing, you're not going to be here much longer. And that's not a, you know, that's not a promise or a commitment. I obviously don't have any control over that, but there's some really strong, you know, sense that unless you make some changes, you're not going to be in this position. And I was really surprised that this guy had the self-awareness to really go through some, you know, soul searching and deciding, okay, I don't want to be this way. I don't want to be like this anymore. But, you know, a lot of times that doesn't have that same kind of effect. So
it one thing that just makes me think of, and I'm curious to get hear about your experiences with this, is what you were just sharing, right? The power of having that kind of frank conversation, you know, that will sometimes turn people around, give them this aha moment. And I sometimes find in organizations that there's such a hesitancy to have that conversation. I was curious what your experience has been.
Well, we live in, you know, such a litigious society. And actually, I think the bark is worse than the bite. Somewhere along the way, in the workplace, we lost transparency, we lost honesty. You know, people just come and go and they disappear out of the company, and, you know, they went on to pursue other things. No, they stole $200,000 from the company, you know. And why we can't say that kinds of things. Now, look, I'm not taking the lawyer position, you know. Well, I guess, Claudette, you're going to have to field all the hate mail saying, that's the legally you can't. That's right, violation of HR rule number 723, right?
Right.
And I know all of the privacy things that we have. But the worst thing that you can do with somebody who needs to change and who's having a profound impact on other people around them is not talk to them about it, is not tell them. I don't even think that's fair. You're not even giving them a fighting chance. Mm-hmm. And to tell them in a really transparent way. But you're right. So many leaders are hesitant to do that.
Yeah. It's definitely interesting. And often that's the first thing I'm saying. Oh, well, have you spoken with them? Well, no. Might I suggest that we, you know, talk about the conversation you could possibly have, right? Blah, blah, blah. And entertain that, you know, how could we message it? How could you be comfortable? Right.
Sure.
So what, you know, when it sounds like that when you have been incredibly successful in companies, it's been because you've been able to have those conversations. You've really gotten that leadership on board, right?
Where yes.
They have said, we want owners, right? We want
owners. Yeah, and you've got high-level support, and you've got people that, you know, are not sniping at you, but they're really empowering you. And I've had my share of, started to say failures, but really just whatever we want to call it. I just got an inbox message a few months ago from someone on LinkedIn. They had left a very large company and taken a different position. And when I said, hey, congrats on the new position, they wrote and said, hey, thank you. By the way, your books were a big factor in me leaving. I got tired of looking around and things and seeing us not do things the right way. And, you know, what grieved me about that situation was the stuff that I write is meant to show companies a way out, not have people quit. But unfortunately, when the message falls on deaf ears or management is just too entrenched in believing their own, you know, stuff, you can't always, what's the old, when the student is ready, the teacher arrives. And I'm sure, you know, you've dealt with that multiple times where you can see something and you know what a company needs to do, but you can't get buy-in for it because it's too threatening, it's too scary, or they just flat out don't believe it.
Yeah, absolutely. And hey, would you like to tell us more about the book?
Sure. Yeah. Well, what author says no to that question?
Right. Yeah. Not today.
So I'll give you a quick rundown, but, so Beached Whale, Learning to Swim in the New Ocean is really about companies that are stuck on a sand dune. They're huge, they're big, but they kind of miss the memo that the world as we know it is over. And I say the first indicator of your Beached Whale company is you walk around, there's a Dilbert cartoon on every cubicle. You know, people are trying to tell you something, right? The Sink is a little book about leaving the world better than you found it. It's a little tiny thing, and it's the least corporate of all the books. It's really more just hey, let's make the world a better place. And then Whiteboard is a hand-drawn, handwritten book that the late great Leonard Cohen, someone gave him a copy and he loved it so much he sent me an autographed copy of his poetry book. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, Claudette, it's like one of my prized possessions because, of course, he died, unfortunately, last year. But the inscription said to Darren, a modern man, feel the words, feel it all with gratitude and appreciation, Leonard Cohen. I'm like, oh, my goodness. You know, wow.
Wow. Can't.
And then the magnum opus, the one that has had the, you know, huge, huge success. We just went into a third printing, is a company of owners. And that one has really struck a chord. It's been called by a couple of C-level execs, best book I've read since Good to Great.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I hope Jim Collins is not listening. His book is much more scholarly. Mine's more, tactical, strategic, and kind of anecdotal. But so that's – and many more to come. So I'm working on a book called Architecting a Company of Owners as kind of a follow-up to get into more nuts and bolts. But I love writing. It's a great way to get ideas down.
Oh yeah. And out into the world and right. Oh yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Cause I think your books are incredibly valuable. I wanted to make sure listeners heard a little bit about them. And I know we're sharing also links to, you know, your website and your books as well.
Thank you.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome. Yeah. So when you're talking, when you're out talking, you mentioned, you know, when you start working with a company or benchmarking and you're having a, you know, great cross section of conversations with folks, and are there a couple of things that come to mind, you know, in terms of, you know, when you talk to people about what's happening in the company or level of ownership or anything, do they say, yeah, it's really tends to be these one or two things, you know, these are the reasons I it's hard for me to be an owner.
Yeah. So, lack of support just from, you know, people are, you know, managers, et cetera, are afraid to empower people to make decisions. But the flip side of that, in fairness, Claudette, is that many people superimpose that on themselves. You know, well, I can't just go in there and do X, Y, Z. Well, why not? Right.
Yeah.
And I think the people that prove themselves to be most valuable are the ones that really take that upon themselves, take that onus on themselves. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what I find when I have those conversations is they're railing on the system, not being supportive. But when you really get down to it, they haven't taken the necessary steps to be heard, you know, and haven't done the work. You know, it's one thing to bring an idea and not have anybody act on it. You know, you kind of hand management the ball on the 1 yard line with 99 more yards to go.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, people are busy and et cetera. It's something different to give them the ball on the 10-yard line where you've done the work and the prep and, you know, and there's a lot of proof of concept already in there. But I think it's just a general malaise out there as well. People are mm-hmm. bored. They're not connected mm-hmm. with the company. They're, you know, we have this, you know, one of the biggest things that we have foisted on our thinking, which I think is unfortunate, is work-life balance. Because the implication is that work isn't a vital part of life. You know, life is what I do on Friday when I walk out the front door. You know, that's where I go do the great stuff. And I don't think work was ever meant to be drudgery. It wasn't meant to be a, you know, thank God it's Friday kind of deal. So, you know, those are just some of the things I see. How about on your side? Because you're in the trenches.
I'm in the trenches. Yeah. And I'd love to answer that. We're going to take a quick break though. And then when we come back, I will dive into that. So you're listening to Cultural Brilliance Radio with Claudette Rowley and Dr. Darren Martin. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Are you ready to stop stress, anxiety, and low self-esteem from running your life? Join award-winning author Dr. Friedemann Schaub for Empowerment Radio and learn breakthrough solutions to switch out of survival mode and approach every day with great ease, joy, and purpose. Tune in the first and third Wednesday at 11 a.m. Pacific to Empowerment Radio with host Dr. Friedemann Schaub on Transformation Talk Radio. Visit thefearandanxietysolution.com to learn more.
Tune in to Knowledge Book Radio with host Marge Potasek each Tuesday at 1 p.m. Pacific, 4 p.m. Eastern on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Through many experiences, Marge was led to the Knowledge Book, a gift to humanity in its transition to the Golden Age, and it provided the truth and the answers. She now shares information from the Knowledge Book with you each week on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information, visit usa.theknowledgebook.net.
High-frequency healing for an amazing life with Source Light Radio. Join host Laura Barton each month on Transformation Talk Radio as she explores Source Light integration, a unique spectrum of energy, light, and frequency. Experience instantaneous healing and amazing shifts in consciousness with Source Light Integrations Radio. For more information on Laura and her work, visit sourcelightintegrations.com.
Hi, I'm Barbara Scheidegger, clinical hypnotherapist and founder of Swiss Hypnotherapy. My goal is to help you to reach your goal. And this is a tip with purpose. Everybody wants it and nobody has enough of it. But it comes to a point that you have to tell yourself, I can get more. I want more. I deserve more. I'm talking about money. More money, more money, more money. That's what people want. But what has to be done? Your thoughts have to change, that you can allow yourself to tell yourself, I have money and I want more money. How much money? What is it? Put it out there. Write it down. What would you do with more money? How would you feel to have more money? I hope this tip helps you going through the day today. You can reach me at 323-999-4775 or at my website at swisshypnotherapy.com.
Join Jennifer Noelle Taylor on the hit show Quantum Touch Radio, supercharging your life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. You'll take a quantum journey as we reveal powerful yet simple steps to create more abundance, better health, emotional and mental vibrancy, and happier relationships using universal quantum touch principles. For more information, visit JenniferNoelleTaylor.com.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. I'm Claudette Rowley here with my guest today, Dr. Darren Martin. We're talking about how to create ownership in your organization. So, Darren, you have a couple really exciting things happening, right? A new magazine and a new podcast. Do you want to tell us about them?
Yes, I do. But first, yeah. Claudette, I want to hear about your book. I just found out you've got a book coming out.
Oh, you're
What's
so
it
nice.
Going to be called?
Yeah, it's called Cultural Brilliance, the DNA of Organizational Excellence.
Ooh,
and it's coming out probably in December or January. Pub date's not exact, but yeah, coming out the end of the year, beginning of next. And it's all about how to of culture. So to really how do you design what I call a brilliant culture, and putting all those concepts and ideas on the map. This idea that I think that most cultures can be incredible cultures. If they're willing to take a look and design and, like you said, you know, go through those hard conversations and make some changes. So
I love it. I can't wait to buy it, read it, and write a review on it. I mean, once you've written anything, you kind of understand the author's life and just how vital that is. But I'll look forward to it. I'll be an early adopter supporter.
That is so nice.
Yeah, absolutely. So, and we did announce at the conference that we're launching. I can't swear to this. Someone at the conference was actually saying that they had a digital company culture publication they put out, but I can't find a company culture publication magazine out there anywhere. And we're hopefully launching the first or one that I think is going to be really interesting and cool and fun. And it's going to be very visually interesting. It's going to be a quick read. A lot of busy executives don't have time to read, 500 page tomes on things. So, and then, we just launched Company Culture with Darren Martin. It's a podcast. So, in fact, we are recording that or doing that live as well later today. So I'm getting to be on your show and then go be on my show. So it's fun.
There you go. Go ahead.
I don't think there's enough that can be done in this space. And I'm really glad that you're out championing the cause, because it's not just about making companies better. It's really about making people's lives better. And why shouldn't every place be a best place to work? There's no reason for it not to be. So I love your take on that, a very optimistic attitude about it.
Oh, thanks. And I agree. Why can't every company be a great place to work? And this is really about, like you said, it's about people. It's about how people feel when they're at work. How engaged are they, right? Are they taking ownership and responsibility? Are they growing, as human beings while they're there?
Because if that's happening, then they're pleased as punch, right? They're going to be, that sounds like a really old guy saying pleased as punch. I don't even know what that means, but
yeah, I've seen you. You're not that old. Don't worry.
thanks for the vote of confidence. But when people are growing and learning, they just, in your experience, don't you think they just perform better and they show up different?
They show up different. They perform better. As we were talking about before the break, what are some of the reasons people don't take ownership? When they start to take it, I'm just thinking of a really recent example in my work. But when they start to take it, it's a beautiful sight. I mean, I'm watching that person who never speaks up in a meeting just shared an amazing idea, things like that. That person who, has been reported to have a really negative attitude, he is really changing that. He is shifting that into something positive. Partly because we've been given the opportunity, right? And some tools and things like that to do it. But I agree with you. It's when people, you start to see that positivity. And with that, I find often is a lot of productivity too, right? So a lot of, work is getting done. It's a win-win for everybody.
Yeah. It kind of goes way back to even grade school days. You know, the old strategy of a teacher putting the little bit of the troublemaker in class in charge of sharpening the pencils or, getting the class organized. And it's amazing when people feel that sense of responsibility. I work in coffee shops a lot. I always tell people I have thousands of offices all over the world. It's called Starbucks. But what do I'm one of those crazy people, and so far I've been fortunate that I'll just walk off to go to the bathroom and leave my computer sitting on the desk. I don't know if I'm overly optimistic about the human condition, but a lot of times we'll look at somebody and say, hey, do you mind keeping an eye on this stuff? We don't know them from anywhere, right?
Right.
But there's some research that says when you do that, there's a heightened sense. Whereas if you just walk off and somebody were to walk up and pick up the computer and walk out the door, that they don't know. Maybe it's a spouse or a significant other or something. And then, they're supposed to do that. But when you tell somebody, hey, this is yours, and you build that sense of pride in there, then they'll go to the mat for making something happen.
That's such a, I love that example, the Starbucks and leaving your computer for a few minutes, because it really speaks to when you ask someone to help with something, it changes the game. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And I've had people ask me that. Now I when you were talking about it, I had this visceral response of that responsibility, level of responsibility I feel if I'm asked, you know, like, oh yeah, I got to really watch that now.
you're going to tackle someone who tried to. Yeah,
that's somebody else's laptop. Don't touch it. Right.
Yeah, I've actually, along with the 7,000 other things I want to do, but I've always wanted to, you know, engage a local university or something and do an experiment with that. The two sets, one being where you just walk off and then somebody comes and picks it up versus when you assign somebody, because I, you know, my hunch would be that there would be a much higher engagement rate when you just engage somebody to participate. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. And the one question just circling back to your magazine for a minute, the company Culture Magazine, is that going to be in print? Is that a print publication?
Yeah. So what the intention, it's launching first quarter of 2019.
Okay.
So very soon we're going to start the pre-sales on it so that we have an idea of what we're looking at just in terms of readership. And it's mainly going to be geared at, you know, managers, leaders, C-suite, CHROs, HR, you know, personnel, anybody who's interested in culture, and then other people like in our space. Like I told you, I want you to, you know, contribute something for it.
Oh, please.
And the plan is it's going to come out once a quarter and be, whether it's in print or digital, it'll be a really visually stunning. We're going to have some fun with it, and it's, you know, going to have some infographics and, you know, compelling cartoons, but also some 10 ways too. And it's meant to be bite-sized, digestible, but really impactful, high impact.
Okay. That's good to know. So we can all watch out for that. Yeah. Yeah. I think that I'm excited to see it because I think to have, like you said, something digestible and, you know, and visually appealing to folks, they might pick it up and read it and just over time start saying, you know, there's something to this culture thing, huh?
Yeah,
you know, maybe it's something to make a difference here. Yeah,
I'll send you four cover concepts just to get your feedback, because that's been the biggest challenge is figuring out who we want on, you know, issue one. Especially in 2018, everybody's got a backstory, right? So, oh no, you can't put that person on there. They were just indicted for XYZ. You know, it's like, whoa, okay. How do we find somebody that, you know, a month after the magazine comes out, we're not regretting, but
exactly. You know. Oops.
Oops.
That was a mistake. Yeah. So, thanks for sharing that. That would be great. I'd be happy to take a look. So we're going to actually take a quick break. And when we come back, Darren and I are going to talk about some recommendations for, you know, folks who are listening today or thinking, I want to grab Darren's book, but what else? How can I start to bring this ownership into my company? So this is Cultural Brilliance Radio. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Did you know that all of the shows on the Transformation Radio Network are available as podcasts to stream or download?
Really?
Check us out. Go to transformationradio.fm. We have business shows, spiritual shows, energy healing shows, and pretty much everything in between. Something for everyone, guaranteed to inspire, educate, and transform. We are transforming the world, one listener at a time.
What is holding you back from living the life you are meant to live? Why is it vital to believe in something bigger than yourself? Are you in physical or emotional pain? Tune in monthly to Vibrant Purposeful Living. Awaken the vibrant life within you with Lou Paradise and Dr. Pat on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Lou's passion is to help everyone experience positive solutions for life. Find out more about Lou with Vibrant Purposeful Living at LouParadise.com.
Love Living Radio Ignite Your Whole Being with Emily Perkins is a show for those looking to explore the sparkling magnificence of their inner selves. Tune in every second and fourth Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific as Emily sheds a radiant light of love on the beauty and power that resides within you, discussing love in all its forms through conversations that provoke awareness, curiosity, and expansion. Emily shares the unlimited power of love. For more information or to listen to this show, visit lovelivingholistics.com.
Living Lighter Radio with Jason and Patricia. We have an ecosystem approach to your life. Tune in weekly every Monday at 1 p.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio as we, Jason and Patricia, discuss what's truly holding you back. We offer you the tools you need to reach your goals and at the same time be living lighter. For more information about Living Lighter, visit www.livinglighter.org.
Miss any shows during the week? Don't worry, we've got you covered. Yahoo! With the free Transformation Talk Radio app, you'll have access to all of the past week's shows in the palm of your hand. Yes! Tune in to Transformation Talk Radio anywhere you go with our free app for any of your devices. Check out our app in the App Store and Google Play Store today.
Hi, this is Laura Richer, host of On the Verge Radio. Sometimes you hear encouraging messages like transform your life now, become empowered, create the life you crave, and it all seems overwhelming and you're not sure where to start. I'm here to tell you that self-improvement is not always fun and easy, but it is always worth it. The path to creating positive changes begins with releasing the things that have been holding you back. Then you can create a life that inspires you. I know this because I've done it. You can find out more about what I do by visiting my website, seattlehealinghypnosis.com. I look forward to supporting you on your journey.
We're back on Cultural Brilliance Radio. Claudette Rowley here with my guest today, Darren Martin, talking about how to bring ownership into your organization. How do you architect that? So Darren, recommendations, right? Folks listening today or leaders or, you know, people working in organizations, people wanting to shift their cultures, what are some things they can do from the inside?
So the kind of the beautiful thing about culture is it's malleable, right? And I had a buddy that taught me a long time ago, production before perfection, and roll your sleeves up and start playing around with it, talk to people, get some input, implement some things. One of the things, you know, cultures are like snowflakes. You can't just go copy some other company's culture because it may not work for the industry you're in or, you know, your particular personnel. But I do think we, you know, we heard this even some at the conference we met at, Claudette, where people make it really mysterious. It doesn't have to be mysterious. It's a very tangible, I think, fungible thing, you know. So try some things, but you've got to focus on it.
Yeah, and what I agree with you. Yeah, I think it is a fair, it's less mysterious than it's made out to be. And sometimes people don't completely understand it, but once they do, then it is. It's something you can really work with. You mentioned trying out some things, but it seems like part of that too is the you try out some things, but this need to, at least in my experience, follow through though, right? You know what I'm saying? So it's not like we tried some things and then we dropped it. Right.
Which, you know, that happens all the time. I was at,
right.
at a very large company and they said, and I was, part of my job was to help push forward an initiative. And somebody said to me, "Hey, Darren, I've been here 28 years. How many new initiatives do you think I've been through?" And I said, "How many?" He said, "28." So every year they were just rolling something new out without ever really, you know, finalizing. Or this is the same company, by the way, that their idea of empowering their people was, they got them all in a big room and went up on stage and said, "You're empowered." And everybody just looked at them with blank stares, like, what?
What does that mean?
It was such a shift from what had been going on. And, you know, you can't just pronounce it. It doesn't work that way.
Oh, my gosh.
we have very good job security, Claudette.
We do.
There's so many broken cultures out there. And then there are those shining gems of people that are doing it right. And you can tell that by the amount of engagement they get and how passionate people are. And those companies don't have trouble attracting and retaining top talent because they're attractive. They're, you know, they're fun to be a part of.
Yeah, they're attractive. They're fun to be a part of, right? They challenge people in good ways, right? They let people move forward and try things out. And, you know, you made an important point a couple minutes ago about, you know, every cultures are, what did you say? Oh, like snowflakes, right? They're all different. And I, you know, moving people away from the idea that we should all be Google, right? We should all be that kind of a culture when it, that may not make any sense for your organization.
Oh, people do silly things like, you know, well, let's just put in a ping pong table. Okay. Like a ping pong table may be perfect, you know, for your culture, but that's not that you're missing the point. And, you know, cultures, great cultures happen by design, not by default. And you just can't go, you know, rob and pillage, you know, other cultures and do what they're doing. Now, there are conceptually some things, you know, treat people with respect, help grow and develop people. I actually, man, we ought to think about this because there are some real core things that I think do apply for every culture. But when it comes to implementation, you've got to make that work for who you are and what you're doing as a company.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the implementation is really customized, right, to the culture itself, to that industry. And yeah, certain things, great, you know, treating people with respect and treating people well. Yeah, every culture should probably have that. Years ago, I was in a company and someone came up to me and said, would you please tell the CEO that we don't need any more pizza parties? Because I was the CEO's, like, you know, our solution is just to order pizza. Yeah, the ping pong table made me think of that.
Check this out. Check this out. I saw one my mom actually sent me that said it was a notice and it said, hey, you guys have done such a great job. We're providing hot dogs and hamburgers. We're going to do this really cool thing. And then the little byline said, executives will have a menu of steak and lobster. This was a real deal. This is a real deal.
Oh, I'm like, my gosh.
What are you smoking that that feels okay to you? You know, but it was just such a disconnect. Oh, man, I love it. So no more pizza parties.
No more pizza parties. We're done.
I did.
I
did have a person out at a unit in a refinery tell me one time, we only get pizza when things don't go well. So when there's a breakdown, and he was kind of making a little snide comment like, you know, it'd be nice if we got pizzas when things were going great. But they, all they were doing was reinforcing the, hey, have problems and we're going to take care of you.
Yeah, that's really, really interesting. Wow. Yeah. When there's a problem, you get a reward. So people rolling up sleeves, right? Trying some things out, talking to people, right? About how, what do you think about our culture? What's happening here, right? And what are,
and,
you know,
and listening and then listening.
And listening. Yeah. Yeah. Really, really listening.
There are a lot of questions that get asked in companies and then they just, you know, it's called skeet shooting. They just blow it out of the air. No, that's not true. You don't know what you're talking about. Okay. Don't ask my opinion.
Yeah, it's and it's kind of a I call it listening to what you hear, not listening to what, you know, what you want to hear, right? This is what you were saying.
Oh, that's so good, Claudette. I love that.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, listen to what you hear, not what you want to hear. And I, like you said, I've heard that too, where I've had to say to a leader, no, did you hear what she said? You know, part of the course, right? Did you hear what she said? She said she really doesn't want to do this part of her job anymore. But maybe if we do this and this and this and this, she'll want to. No, she really is clear. She really, really doesn't want to do it anymore. And she's quite frankly not that great at it because she doesn't like it, you know, so it kind of all makes sense. So you need to find somebody else to do this.
I love it.
And this is even, this is like a really good leader, good person, you know, just having a hard time listening.
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. It's tough for all of us, right? And especially if it feels like a critique or a criticism and, you know, that an immediate defensiveness kicks in. But, you know, I think just listening. Well, I talked about beach whale with the Dilbert cartoons on every cubicle. And the way you unbeach is you go around and you say, hey, this cartoon, oh, that's really funny. Tell me what that means to you. How do you see this at our company that, you know, this level of bureaucracy or what this cartoon represents? And there's a way to even leverage something like that, but people have to have the humility to be willing to learn and listen and find out what's really going on.
That's a brilliant way to do it though, to really just take what's there, right? Okay. Tell me what this means to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Having this on your cube. What does this mean to you? And
Absolutely. You
learn a ton. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, things like that, great, great practical suggestions around things like that, the listening, really asking good questions, right? It's coaching skills, right?
I think that's one of the marks of the great leaders is their capacity for listening. Listening deeply. So.
Yeah. And it's, and when they do, it makes this incredible difference, right? I notice that things just start to change even through that listening.
Yeah, because absolutely.
When they listen that deeply, they usually, not always, but usually will start to take some action because they've gotten so engaged.
Absolutely. So I was joking about job security earlier.
Yeah.
I think, and I'm sure this is your heart as well, nothing would make me happier than to go out of work or go find something else to do because companies get the culture right. There's so much writing on it. Mm-hmm. And I really think in this time, it's the difference between life and death. Your company is not going to survive with a lot of the crappy cultures that are out there because the world is changing and people aren't going to put up with that. So
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And what a great note to end on, just how important it is, right, for us to, as you are, by putting your work out into the world, embracing how important culture is and really helping. You know, I say the same thing. I'd love to work my way out of a job, right? So you don't need me anymore. Darren, I want to thank you so much for being on the show today. Really, really awesome to have you here. Yeah.
Oh, Claudette, you're awesome. So when you asked me, I think I was over exuberant, like, yes, of course, I want to do the show. That sounds like fun. And I knew it would be this much fun. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for being here. And thanks for everybody who tuned in today and listened to Cultural Brilliance Radio. We had an awesome time. Please join us the 4th, 2nd, and 4th Fridays of every month at 1 p.m. Eastern and 10 a.m. Pacific. So have a great couple of weeks, and we will see you back here next time.
You've been listening to the hit show Cultural Brilliance Radio, the DNA of organizational excellence with Claudette Rowley. Conversations that are transforming the world of culture and business. You can download this podcast and find out more about Claudette and her breakthrough work at ClaudetteRowley.com. Please contact Claudette and find out how you can create a brilliant culture.